choir for that wonderful song. Well done. Wonderful blessings of God's Word is our message today, which is part two. Now, last Sunday we looked at the wonderful blessings of God, part one last week, looking at Psalms 119, 17 through 24. This morning we're looking at verses 21 through 24. But to recap and to remind ourselves and refresh our mind, I want to read the first four verses again, 17 through 20. It will not be on the screen, but you have your Bibles, and you can follow along with me. Last Sunday, and you'll see here in verse 18 that it says that we are to be open to the Word. The second part this morning is going to be opposition to the Word. So let's look at verses 17 from Psalms 119. The psalmist says, "Dear bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." Then the psalmist says, "I am a stranger in this world. Do not hide your commandment from me. My soul is crushed, longing after your ordinances at all times." So now look at with me in verse 20 or 20. I read that one. Let's go on to 21. "You rebuked the arrogant, the crushed, who wanders from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes." Now that means he doesn't allow any distraction from the enemies or anything else. And that's what we are to do. We are to keep our focus on the Lord in oppositions and be open to the Word at all times. So in verse 24, it says, "Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors." So if you need good godly counseling, you go to the Word of God. Amen? And be open to the Word of God. So when we're looking at this passage this morning, and there's other passages you can, in relationship to this, which is John chapter 15, 1 through 11, and 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 16. But our main text this morning is 21 through 24, Psalms 119. Now, if we ever feel that we can ignore our daily time with God in His Word, then this scripture here is for us to read and grasp, because we need the Word, because we are, according to the psalmist says, that we are servants. So servants of the Lord, we need to be in the Word so we know how to serve more faithfully. That's why Jesus said, "I didn't come to this world to be served, but to serve." So he listened to the Heavenly Father. Father gave him instructions, and he said, "I don't do anything on my own initiative except what the Heavenly Father tells me to do." So shouldn't that go along with what we should do and follow in God's Word, be open to His Word, that we might be good and faithful servants? Now, we need the Word because we are servants. So in His Word, and our masters give us directions that are right. When he taught Samuel prayed, he said, "Lord, speak, your servant is listening." Now, what a good statement. "Lord, speak, because your servant is listening." Now, if we would say those words ourselves, "Lord, I know you're speaking to me." I talked to the gentleman this week, and I've known this gentleman for a long, long time, ever since I was back at Brushy Fork Baptist Church. And he was sharing with me. He said, you know, Pastor Mike, it's time for me to get baptized. I said, yes, it is. And I said, I'd be glad to do it. And he said, well, I would love for you to do it. And we went on and talked and so forth. But he said, you know, the Lord's been speaking to me even more in the last few weeks and so forth. And I said, listen to him and don't keep putting that off. You never know. You never know. The Lord's going to come, or maybe he called you home and you don't want to go home unprepared. So I said, listen to the Lord. And I said, if you want to come and talk to me more about your decision, or if I baptize you, where do we go? I said, I'll be praying for you. So, and I told this gentleman, I said, you know, the Lord is working in your life. You know how I know? Because you acknowledge that even more that you need to make that decision to follow him. So, as God's faithful servant, the anonymous writer here in 119 is ranked among with Moses, Joshua, David, Daniel, James, Paul, and Timothy, of whom carried that title. But each child of God can serve the Lord and bear the same title as the psalmist is right here. So everything in creation serves the Lord. If you read over or go back to verse 91 or go forward to 91, you would see that. And we are his redeemed people, and we ought to join as well in this, as the psalmist tells us. So he also deals with bountifully, as the scripture says, beginning up here in the first few verses, with his servants, and provides them adequately with the instructions. And that's why Samuel says, Lord, I'm listening. Speak to me. So last week, again, we talked about the being open to the word. Today we're going to be looking at opposition to the word. And the psalmist knew there was some opposition against him, even though he was obeying God and doing his best to keep focus. So verse 21 indicates that God will rebuke those who do not live in accordance with his word. Now, in verse 17 through 18, the psalmist asked God to open his eyes so he could see the marvelous blessings of the word. You know what? That's my prayer as well. I don't want to miss anything. When I read the word of God and if it's something for me to open my heart, open my mind, I want to be able to grasp it in order that I might apply it or even teach it or preach it according to how I am led to do so. So the psalmist is right on here. He says, open his eyes so he can see the marvelous blessings that really flow from the word of God. Now, we often sing, count our many blessings. Well, all you got to do is look in the word and those blessings are going to flow right out to you and you're going to say yes. And you count those blessings as God reveals those to you, because those are things that you can use in your life each day. It's very relevant for what we do each day of our life. Because the psalmist says here, because God curses the wicked who disobey him, he prayed that the Lord would remove those who reproach him. He said, you know, don't let them be a distraction to me. Remove them. Don't let them be in my way of being obedient. So that's in contrast to with them. He says, meditate on and delight in God's word in verses 21 through 24. So in this Psalms, here, this 119th Psalm, the psalmist referred to the wicked and those who oppressed him at least 19 times. So he must have had them knocking on his door. So at least 19 times he refers to that. So we need to meditate on the word and be delighted in it. Now, we need to love the Lord, and if we love it, we're going to obey it. So the psalmist is saying right here, the proud are those who are a law under law themselves, meaning they decide for themselves what they are going to personally obey or personally do themselves. In Psalms 10:2-19, also the psalmist refers to that. So presumptions can deceive or corrupt anyone. Now, because of the psalmist's zeal for God's word, he suffered much from the arrogant men's resentment. Then he says in verse 21, curse indicates they are ready for God's judgment. And God's judgment is coming eventually. And God is withholding judgment right now. And I believe that he's allowing people to align themselves with the word of God or get saved or come to their senses and understand that he is in control. So the curse indicates here in verse 21 that these people, with their denial, with their rejection, with their rebellion, are ready for the judgment, according to the psalmist. But in first verse 22, this is a prayer to take away the reproach and contempt of the arrogant have heaped upon him. They're coming upon him. And he says, take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. You know, sometimes, even for us today, you know, when, you know, we believe in the word, we attend church and we're very faithful and so forth, and we're around other people, maybe friends or acquaintances that are not part of church or have nothing to do with religion or Christianity, and that can be a hindrance to you, but you can be a witness during this time as well, as the psalmist said, you know, I'm going to observe your testimonies no matter what. And because they rejected God, they despairingly reject God's people. Even Jesus warned the disciples when he was here on earth and teaching them and preparing them to do ministries. He said, people will oppose you. They will persecute you even. Actually, you will die for my sake, in which they did. But the petitioner or the psalmist wants God to remove their condemnation and their disrespect. So innocence may just ask God to be cleared from man's reproach. He bases his request on the fact that he observes God's word. That's a good thing though, right? He bases this on that he is faithful to God's testimonies. So, now, in verse 21, or verse 23, I'm sorry, this indicates that he doesn't follow the worldly counsel of the rulers, but he seeks God instead. And that's what you and I are to do in our decision making or whatever we do, in our witness and our testimony. If we do as the psalmist, if we follow the counsel of the word of God, then we will be blessed. He says here, even though princes are set and they talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. So when we sit and we meditate upon God's word, you see, he is preparing us. He is equipping us. He is comforting us. He is giving us peace. He is giving us everything that we can do, we need to resist opponents or those opposition to the word of God. We probably don't face that like they did in the Old Testament and New Testament times, but They may be opposition to you when you witness to someone. And just as a reminder, if you witness someone about the Lord and they resist or don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, say, no, I don't want to talk about it, they're not resisting you. They're not turning you down. They're resisting the Holy Spirit ability to lead them and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So don't ever be discouraged about witnessing. Be discouraged if that person doesn't, but keep praying for them that they might at one point in time accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now the psalmist, he lives in an evil time. Now, we might think we live in an evil time. We live in a time where there's a lot of discourse, confusion, and rebellion within our world. And the psalmist is pointing that out right here. But he remains God's servant. No matter what happens in your life or in this world, we still remain faithful because we know what God wants us to do as believers, as Christians. He wants us to always continue to be faithful to Him. So when authoritative men plotted and united against Him, His refuge was in God's Word. Just like Psalms 46:1, God is my refuge, He is my strength, the very help in trouble or need. That fits this passage of Scripture perfectly. So he meditated, he reflected on God's statutes. Statutes are regarded as unchangeable and unalterable decrees. And God's Word is unalterable. You don't change it. He doesn't change. Now he can change us, and we need to be changed. And the psalmist is hoping and praying that they would be changed, but if not, he was going to remain faithful. So when the world takes up unjust opinions of us, we meditate on God's unchanging Word. Now, looking at verse 24, the psalmist delights in God's Word and makes them his counselor. If you need counseling, God's Word is the best word, the best source to go to. He says in verse 24, your testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors. So the psalmist needed wisdom to know how to handle difficult situations, and or so he could turn to the counsel of God's Word. Now, every one of us at some point in time have needed counsel in our life, especially in our spiritual life. And I find more comfort in going to God's Word and reading it. I don't know how many people over my pastor has come to me and said, you know, I was in distress. I didn't know what to do. I was wanting to make decisions. I was just downhearted. And I just opened the Bible and started reading, and my spirits were lifted. And sometimes that's how God works. Sometimes just start reading in the first of the New Testament and read all the four Gospels, and you will be lifted. You will be counseled by the Holy Spirit, and you'll be counseled by Jesus Himself, because many of the Scriptures in the New Testament are of Jesus' words. So, He provides all that we need. That's why the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, because He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul, and my cup overflows. And then in the sixth verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, we're covered in all those areas, right? From the very beginning to the end, God's always ready to help us. So the words here, God were His delight. They were his full and complete, and I would say plural, enjoyment, happiness, and blessing. So, here in conclusion this morning, a lot of people will spare no expense of a half hour of counseling. But yet, the greatest counsel that we can ever receive is found right here in the pages of the scriptures. And it's free, you know? It's free. God's word is free to us. The salvation was paid. The debt, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And God paid that for us. And there's no better counsel than the Spirit of God speaking through the Word of God. Now, in the book, Hints to Young Christians, O.T. Gifford, he suggested some following declarations or suggestions here. And I want to share those with you this morning. If you're getting lazy in your meditation or in your devotions, read James, and he'll light your fire, you know. He'll get you up and going. And yeah, if you get lazy in your reflection or meditation or devotion, read James. Start with verse 1. And he says, if you like wisdom in verse 5, you know, God will give it to you. Okay, if your faith is par, read Paul. Read about Paul. Kind of similar words there. Paul. Okay, if you're impatient, consider Job. You remember, I've told you I've never prayed for patience. You know why? I told you why. God will wear you out with him. So just pray for the strength for the task that God lays before you. But if you become impatient, how many of you are impatient? I don't see many hands there. Okay, I see, I do. Some of you are being truthful. Yeah, no, you're all truthful. You just don't want to raise your hand. But Brenda would say I'm impatient with some things, right? Not all things. I'm a pretty patient person, but some things I'm not. But I try to learn not to be impatient. If I do, I go to Job. And right off chapter 1 kind of erases that, takes all that away, and I say, well, I don't have nothing to be impatient about. Look at Job. And if you're a little strong-headed, any strong-headed people out here? Oh, I do see some hands. Well, you need to go to Moses. What about Moses? How would you like to have been in his shoes? How would you like to walk in his shoes for 40 years and listen to complaining and bickering and all of that for 40 years? He was pretty patient, wasn't he? But he was headstrong because he trusted in God. And he said, thus saith God, thus saith the Lord. So, if you're weak in the knees, read about Elijah. He was a prayerful person. He went to his knees quite often. So if you're no song in your heart, who would you go to? No song in your heart. You'd go to David. And he would lift your spirits. Who was David? He was a man after God's own heart. Many times, this wind was knocked out of David's sail. But, you know, he got up and he dusted himself off and he said, Lord, you know, restore unto me thy great salvation, so I might be a witness to you. That's Psalms 51. Now, if you feel spiritually cold, who do you go to? You go to David. He's the beloved disciple who loved to hug. And he'll lift your spirits. He'll wrap his arms around you. And if you're losing sight of the future, what revelation would you need to read? Go to Revelation and get a glimpse of heaven. The promises that are there. They're there. We talked a little bit about that this past Wednesday night, our Bible study, about what heaven's going to be like. 12 floors, 12 tribes of Israel, the gates, and so forth. The door's never locked. There's no daylight. It's always going to be sunshine, and that's Jesus Christ going to be lighting the way for all of us. But that's our future. If you want a glimpse of the future, look into Revelations. So as you face life today with its demands, this is my plea to you. Let the Bible be your counsel. Look to God first. Look in His Word first. If you need additional assistance, then seek godly counsel, and that godly counselor will lead you back to the Word Himself. So, be open to the Word. And those who are in opposition to the Word, you pray for them. Be a counselor to them, because they need it as well. They need to know where to find the blessings. And God's Word is the place. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You that it does lift our spirits. It does have all the answers. And the different books of the Bible speaks to us in different ways. And Lord, and that's why You spoke to the various men of the Bible with their different personalities that went through different things on this earth, just as we do ourselves each day. And we're one, it's like one beggar telling another beggar where food. If we, as Christians, tell other people where we find the blessings of Your Word, then we can take them right into Your Scriptures. And they too can meditate and find the answers. Whatever decisions are today, with those that are here and those listening, Lord, we have the Holy Spirit, and we can listen to Him, and He will guide us and teach us Your ways, just as You told the disciples that the Holy Spirit would come and teach you exactly the things that I have taught you. All we need to do is just have our open heart, ready to listen and heed Your Word. Lord, I praise You and I thank You in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As we sing this morning, we're going to be standing and we're going to sing Trust and Obey. There's no other way, right, than to trust and obey. Let us stand as we sing.